So, my friends, we in this party have a great and solemn responsibility, because we alone carry the burden of ensuring that Labour can never again wreck the British economy. The Conservative commitment is to build a country and an economy that works for everyone, to raise our living standards and grow our national wealth, not just for today, but for future generations too. We know how to do that, we Conservatives. We've proved it time and time again, cleaning up Labour's mess. We'll do it by making the British economy the most outward-looking, most dynamic, most competitive, high-wage, high-skill, low-tax economy in the world. We do it by making sure that after our EU exit, we continue to attract the brightest and the best, the highest skilled and the most dynamic entrepreneurs, scientists, engineers and managers from around the world, building a strong and vibrant economy as the bedrock of our strong and vibrant society. A Conservative vision of the future of Britain. And I'll tell you this, it's a million miles away from the la-la land Labour was describing in Liverpool last week. But to deliver that strong, prosperous economy requires long-term sustainable growth. And long-term sustainable growth requires us to raise our national productivity. Now look, before you switch off, I know that productivity doesn't necessarily set political pulses racing. But bear with me while I try to convince you that it should. How about this? You probably know that our national productivity is lower than that of the US and Germany. Perhaps you even feel somewhat resigned to that fact. But did you know that it's lower than France and Italy too? And had you made the connection about what that means in the real world? Because what it means is that millions of British workers are working longer hours for lower pay than their counterparts in Europe and the US. And that has to change if we're going to build an economy that works for everyone. If we raised our productivity by just 1% every year, within a decade, we would add £250 billion to the size of our economy. That's £9,000 for every household in Britain. So productivity should set political pulses racing. It's a decades-old problem, swept under the carpet for too long. But under this government, we are going to put it in the spotlight, right at the forefront of our policy agenda and at the heart of our industrial strategy. We know where to start. Our productivity performance in this country is grossly uneven, still too reliant upon a few key sectors, still too focused on London and the South East. The good news is that we know how to do productivity. Parts of London have the highest productivity in Europe. The bad news is that the productivity gap between our capital and our second, third, and fourth cities is greater than in any other major economy in the world. And closing that gap will be key to Britain's future outside the EU. That's why we're doing regional devolution deals, and why tackling those regional differences will be one of the key drivers for the industrial strategy that Greg Clark is developing now. And then there's the skills challenge. We've made huge progress over the last 6 years. How many people in this room 10 years ago would have believed that in every year since 2014, maths was the most A-level subject in English schools? But it was. What a tribute that is to education reforms. But despite that progress, there is still a huge gap between our skills base and that of our key competitors. It's holding people back from achieving their full potential, and it's holding our nation back in the global race. And there's more. Our stock of public infrastructure, our roads, railways, flood defences, languishes near the bottom of the developed countries' league table after decades of underinvestment. And our businesses, too, are not investing enough. All of this must change to build an economy that works for everyone.